We are doing Shabbat, and we had discussed that in the laws of Shabbat there are 39 avot melachot, and we had discussed that there are certain preconditions for a person to be chayav for having performed the melacha. We discussed the concept of melechet machshevet. We discussed davar sheino mitkaven. We discussed melacha sheina tzicha legufa. We discussed mitasek. We said there are different aspects of doing an action without being fully focused. Either davar sheino mitkaven, you don't have in mind for that action to take place. Melacha sheina tzicha legufa, the purpose of the action is not the same. You mean to put out the fire, but you're not doing it for the sake of the coals. Or mitasek, you're busy doing something else. You don't even realize that this is going to take place. You're leaning against the wall and the light switch is behind you. You don't have any intent of turning on light switch. It's not the action. It's not even part of the action. You're busy doing one thing. And so we'll see Bezrat Hashem as we learn. Davar sheino mitkaven, you mean to pull the bench, but you don't mean to make the furrow. Here, you're leaning against the wall, but you have no concept of the light switch that's behind you. You're picking up a leaf, and you think it's not attached to the ground.
The act itself, you're unaware.
You're unaware to certain details of the act. You don't know the facts that are before you.
What is it when you do the act?
So now we're up to the first Mishnah, and we had discussed that one of the melachot that will be discussed most in Masechet Shabbat is melechet tzotza'ah, taking things from private domain to public domain or public domain to private domain. Let's just remind ourselves that throughout the laws of Shabbat, whenever we discuss the word chayav, obligated, it means chayav chatat. If he did it by mistake, he didn't realize it was Shabbos. He didn't realize this action was prohibited, then he is obligated to bring a chata sacrifice. If he does it purposely with witnesses, he'll get the death penalty once there are witnesses and a warning. If he does it purposely and no witnesses and a warning, then he won't get the death penalty by mankind. He will get karet from heaven. But chayav is usually a reference to a person who's doing it by mistake, that he is chayav chatat. So our Mishnah begins, Yetziyot Shabbat, the taking out of Shabbat. You're taking an object out from private or public domain. Shtaim Shein Alba, they are two that break down to four bifnim, for the person standing inside his home, the what's called the Baal Abayis, the person standing in private domain, can transgress this in two ways that expand to four. And there are two that expand to four for a man standing outside private domain. In public domain, the pauper in our case who's standing in Rashut HaRabim. So it could be anyone standing in public domain, but our Mishnah is going to give a description of a case that the pauper is standing outside and he wants to receive something or he wants to give something, and the owner of the house, the Baal HaBayis, is standing inside. Keitzad, which is short for Keizetzad. How does this work out? This two that evolved to four. Ha'ani umed b'chutz u'bal habayit bifnim. The first thing we have to know is that who's standing outside? The poor man. Who's standing inside? The Baal HaBayis, the owner of the house. He's standing in his home. The poor man standing outside in public domain. Pashat ha'anit yado lifnim v'natan l'toch yado shel Baal HaBayit. If the ani, the poor man who's standing outside, he's standing outside and he wants a donation. So he takes his basket from public domain, picks it up, extends his hand inside the private domain to Roshut HaYechid, Pashat Anit Yado Lifnim. The poor man extended his hand into the rich man's home. V'natal Netoch Yado Shel Baal HaBayit, and he placed something in the hand of the owner of the house. So now he's taken something from public domain, put it into private domain, and put it down in that man's hand. O Shenatal Mitochar, if he took something from that man's hand, V'hotzi, and he took it out into his private domain and put it down in his public domain in Rishus HaRabim. Ha'ani chayav, the ani, the poor man who did all the action. He picked it up, he put it in, he put it down, or he picked it up from inside, brought it out and put it down outside. He did this yitziyah, taking the object out from one domain into the other domain, and therefore he is chayav. He will have to bring a chata sacrifice. U'bal habayit patur, and the owner of the house is patur, he didn't do anything. He just stood there. The man either put something in his hand or took something out of his hand. Therefore, he is patur. So the first case was the poor man standing outside. He can either do taking the object out of his domain into private domain or taking the object out of private domain into his domain, public domain. Those are the first two cases. Next case. Pashat Baal HaBayit et yado lachutz. Let's say now the one who's doing the action... Yes.
How can the poor man even go around with that basket in the Shulchan Aruch? How did he get to the house?
Good question. Not for now. Pashat balabait et yado lachutz. Let's say the owner of the house is standing inside his house, and he extends his hand outside. Venatan letoch yado shlani, and he places something into the hand of the poor man. Or else he takes something from the hand of the poor man v'ichnis, and he brings it into his house. So again, what was done here? Either the owner of the house took something from his home, from private domain, extended it outside, put it in the ani's hand in public domain, or he took it from the ani's house in public domain, brought it inside to his own private domain and put it down inside. Bala bayit chayav, so then the owner of the house is going to be chayav. He did all the actions here. V'ani patu, and the poor man is patu. So we've described four cases now. Two cases where the ani is chayav, either if he does all of the action, he picks up the object, puts it inside, puts it down, or he takes it from inside, brings it out, puts it down, or that the owner of the house, the malabais, he did this, took it from his house, put it outside, or took it from outside, put it inside.
How does this relate to the open statement?
Let's see. So these are two cases each. These are, we said, Yetziyot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, two that evolved to four for the man standing inside. So we just saw two. For the balabai standing inside, we just saw two cases. If he extends and puts the object outside, or he picks up the object from outside and puts it inside, we saw two cases where the bifnim, the man standing inside, the balabai can be chayav. We'll see how it evolves to four in a minute. And shtayim shein arba bachutz, two which evolved to four to the man standing outside, which is the poor man. And we saw those two cases. The two are either where he extends an object into the house or takes it out of the house. So far, so clear? Yes? Okay. Now, the melacha, the action of doing hotza'ah, taking something out from one domain into the other, is broken down halachically into three actions. There is the akira, lifting the object from one domain, hoshata, extending it into the other domain, and hanacha, putting it down in the other domain. Akira, uprooting it, lifting it from one domain. Hoshata, extending it to the other domain. Hanacha, putting it down in the other domain. So there's the main components are akira and hanacha, picking it up from one domain and putting it down in the other domain. The four cases which we've analyzed thus far, there was always one individual who was doing both components of the malacha. Either the poor man was picking it up and putting it down, or the rich man was picking it up and putting it down, either in one domain or the other, but there was one man doing the actions all the time. So far, yes? Okay.
Putting it down or transferring it? That would be,
we consider putting it in someone's hand like you put it down in that domain. So long as a person is standing... What? Excellent.
How did you describe these three actions? Obviously?
Basically, it's akira and hanacha. We'll skip the hoshata. These are the components of the malacha called hotza. The malacha of hotza is composed of two primary actions, lifting from one domain and putting down in another domain. Obviously, there has to be that transfer from one domain to the other, but we'll overlook that for now.
You're implying that one of them is missing, it's not hotza?
I'm implying that if one of them is missing, then there was no hotza. Correct. The rest of the Mishnah will discuss what happens if there is a dual effort, where this action of hotza is divided between two. For example, the ani is going to put it into the balabait's hand, and then the balabait will bring it inside. The balabait extends his hand outside, and the ani either takes it out or puts it into his hand. And then the ani, really, what he did, the man standing in public domain, he did half the action, and the owner of the house did half the action. So in these instances, there was not a complete melacha being done by either individual. And our rule when it comes to chata sacrifices, remember we're talking about a chata sacrifice, the one who transgresses the biblical prohibition of Shabbos has to bring a chata sacrifice. Our rule when it comes to chata sacrifices is that one has to transgress a complete transgression. If you did it half-half, then you don't bring a sacrifice. So the remainder of the Mishnah will discuss what happens when we divide the task between the two of us. Later on in the Masechta, we will have a discussion what happens if two people carry a weight outside. That's a different case. What we're discussing here is where one lifts and the other one puts down. That's going to be the discussion of the remainder of the Mishnah. So what we define now is there is melechet hotza'ah, removal of an object from one domain to another domain, and we said that is composed of two actions, the lifting from one domain and the putting down in the other domain. Akira, uplifting, uprooting, and hanacha, putting down.
We're referring to here the writer.
Okay? Right. So now the Mishnah is going to tell us what happens if the action is divided between two. And in such an instance, so then we are going to see they are patur. And you guys remember we said whenever it comes to the laws of Shabbos, patur means patur aval asur. Patur means he is patur, he is exempt from the sacrifice, but it is rabbinically, not biblically, but rabbinically prohibited from doing that action. Whenever we have the word patur in Shabbat, it means patur, biblically he is exempt, rabbinically he is prohibited. So now the Mishnah continues. Pashat anit yado lifnim. If the poor man extended his hand into the private domain, he's standing in public domain, he extends his hand inside. V'natal bal habayit mitocha. And this time he doesn't put it down in his home, but rather the owner of the house takes it out of his hand and he puts it down at home. Or else, the poor man extends his hand into his home, shenatan letocha, and then the Baal Bais puts something in his hand, and then he takes it out and puts it down. So the Baal Bais did the action of taking it out of his domain.
He gave him something.
The poor man extended his hand into his home, the rich man placed something in it. So the minute the rich man placed something in it, he took it out of his private domain and placed it into this hand. Now the hand takes it outside and puts it down.
What do you place in the sand?
A basket, some food. Correct.
So they're doing a transaction. One's giving the other person something, right?
We don't need to say it's a transaction. The poor man comes to him and asks him for a piece of challah. He takes a piece of challah from his table. He sticks his hand in the window. He puts it in his hand. The poor man takes it out into his public domain. Now the poor man took it out. He put it down in public domain. The rich man picked it up from private domain and placed it in his hand.
Yeah.
So our Mishnah says, Pashat anit yado lifnim. If the poor man extended his hand into the home, V'natal bal habayit mitocha, and the owner of the house took something from his hand, so the poor man picked it up from public domain and extends it into the wealthy man's house. The wealthy man takes it out of his hand. So now the poor man, he did akira, he lifted it up from public domain. The rich man, he does hanacha, he puts it in private domain. Or if the poor man extends his hand into his home, just a second, shenatan netocha, he placed it into his hand, and then the poor man takes it out into his public domain, vihotzi, and then the poor man takes it out, shnem pturin, they are both exempt from a chata sacrifice, but they are both prohibited from doing this. Hotza is spelled hey vav tzadi aleph hey. So why are they both patur? Because they each did half a job. And the last case of the Mishnah is Pashat Baal Habayit et Yado Lachutz. If the wealthy man extended his hand outside, V'natal Ani Mitocha, and now he sticks his hand outside, he picks up a loaf of bread, extends his hand outside. The poor man takes the bread out of his hand and puts it down in public domain. Or else the wealthy man extends his hand outside, and the poor man, oh, shenatan netocha, the poor man places something in his hand. So the poor man picks it up from public domain, puts it in the Baal Bais's hand. The Baal Bais brings it inside, v'yichnis, takes it inside and puts it down. Shnehem p'turin, they're both exempt. Same concept, just the reverse, right?
Just, but I thought that the actual placing to a hand is not just transferring. You said that it's actual placing down.
So now, before we go into depth, I want to make sure everyone understood this on the surface. I want you to take out 2 minutes, review the Mishnah on your own, and then we'll have to go into depth of understanding the concept you're talking about. So before we do that, I want you guys to review the Mishnah, because we do need to speak about a concept, And I don't want to do that before we have the simple understanding down pat. So let's pause for 2 minutes, review the Mishnah.
There's some really good
things. There are a few points we have to think about when we talk about the Mishnah. Okay. I think we'll discuss the points as we'll start with the answer. I don't think we'll start with the question, because our point is to study now, we're not learning Gemara. So let's notice the difference and understand it. When a man is standing public domain, the Mishnah gives us the case of a poor man and a wealthy man, just to tell us that even if the guy is poor, you still can't disregard the laws of Shabbos. You want to give him bread, invite him into your house and give him to eat. You can't, just because you're doing a mitzvah doesn't mean you're allowed to take the money out of your domain into public domain. So that you can't take any. Okay, not money, food, fine.
Rav, I was thinking usually there are a lot of leniencies. There are a lot of leniencies basically, right, when someone's life's in danger. So if it's a poor man and he's very hungry,
if his life is in danger, for sure you do everything to give him to eat. Come on, no questions asked. If you have a question whether he's dying of hunger, you give him everything to eat, no questions asked. Right. Okay. Now, when a man is standing in one domain and he has an object in his hand, so we consider it as though that object is placed in that domain. Meaning, I'm standing in public domain, I'm holding this in my hand, and someone else is going to extend his hand and take it out of my hand and bring it into private domain and put it down in private domain. Technically, did he pick it up out of public domain? He picked it up out of my hand. But I'm standing in public domain with this in my hand. So when he takes it out of my hand, we consider that akira. He lifted it out of public domain, brought it into his private domain, and put it down there. Now, let's say he picks it up out of his private domain, extends his hand outside, puts it down in my hand in public domain. Even though he did not put it down on the floor of public domain, when I stand in the same domain as my hand is, we say when he put it down in my hand, it's as though he did hanacha, he placed it down in that domain. And it doesn't matter if I'm standing with my hand in public domain or private domain. Now what happens, so far you guys with me? Without questions, just if you understood the point. Let's not confuse things. The point you guys got, yeah? So that's why when the poor man takes the object, sticks his hand into the private domain, puts it down in the Baal Bais's hand, he is chayav. That's why when the poor man lifts the object out of the Baal Bais's hand, takes it out into public domain and puts it down, he is chayav. That's why when the Baal Bais takes an object from his house, extends his hand outside the public domain, puts it down in Nani's hand, even though he didn't put it down on the floor, he put it in Nani's hand, he is chayav. And he takes it out of the Nani's hand and brings it into his house and puts it down, he is chayav. So far, so good. Simple. Now, next point. I take an object, I'm standing in public domain. When the object is in my hand in public domain, it is considered munach with me in public domain. I extend my hand through the window into the man's house, into private domain. Now with my hand outstretched into his rishus, what is this object? My body is in rishus rabin. My hand is in the airspace of rishus ayochid. From our Mishnah we see that when the Baal HaBayis takes it out of the Ani's hand, when the man in his home takes it out of the pauper's hand, it's not considered like he took it out of the pauper's hand when the pauper was standing outside in Rishus HaRabim with his hand in Rishus HaRabim, right? We say the Akira, the uplifting from public domain, happened. Even though the poor man, when he was standing with it in his hand in public domain, when his hand was by his body, and the Baal HaBayis took it out of his hand, then we say it was munach. It was resting in public domain in his hand. The second the poor man takes it out of his proximity, extends his hand through that window into private domain, akira happened. The object was uprooted from public domain and now goes into airspace. When the Baal HaBayis takes it out of his hand, puts it down in private domain, he just did hanacha, he did not do akira. We said akira, the first step happened when he took it out of his domain and extended his hand through the window. Same thing when the Baal HaBayis extends his hand through the window outside. Even though a minute before, when his hand was inside his domain, when the poor man would have taken it out of his hand, we would have said, The poor man did akira. He uprooted it. Remember, there are two stages to hotza. The second he takes his hand out into public domain, akira happened. Now when the poor man will take it out of his hand, the poor man did not do akira. The poor man is simply going to do anicha. Akira happened. He uprooted it when he extended his hand out the window. You guys with me? So even though you'll say, but it was in his hand all the time, what's the difference if it's in his domain or he extends his hand to a different domain? It's a good question. It's discussed in the Gemara, but for now we'll take it as a given. One more point, unless you guys have had it to hear, you guys more and less will confuse you. Have we hit capacity? No? You guys want to review these points or you got them? What? Review it? Okay, so let's review it. What did we say? We said, when I'm standing as in the same domain as my hand, then an object in my hand is considered resting in that domain. The second I extend my hand into another domain, it is considered that I uprooted it from this domain. Remember, the action of hotza'ah involves two steps, uprooting and placing down. When a man is standing outside in public domain and his hand is with him, the object is considered at rest. When the man from the house sticks his hand out and lifts it out of his hand, we say the object was just uprooted. But when the man extends his hand from public domain through the window into private domain, we say the minute he extended it through that window, it was uprooted from public domain. And now, when his hand is in the airspace of private domain, when the owner of the house will take it out of his hand, he is no longer uprooting it. It was uprooted from public domain. Even though the man's feet are in public domain, but his hand has uprooted it. And now the Baal HaBayis, when he takes it out of his hand, and he puts it down in his hand, he is doing anacha, he is placing it down, he is bringing it back to rest in a different domain, but he is not doing the uprooting from the state of rest.
That's why both are doing half.
Right, and that's why we say why both do half. Correct. Yes.
So he did the uprooting by putting it in the other
thing. Right.
But not the putting it down.
Correct. You guys with me? Now, there's more to be discussed, but we're learning Mishnah and Akamara. So for now, we'll leave it at that. If you have koach, one more point? Okay. Yeah.
Why do we start with the Lamed Melachot?
Last class. You missed it. Sorry. Last class. Next point. I can't. After class, we can discuss it. There's one more point. When we speak about the action of hotza'ah, there's one more point we have to be aware of. There are many more points, but for our Mishnah, we'll mention one more point. Akira, you remember the object has to be uprooted from a place and placed down in a place. It's uprooted from one domain and hanacha placed down in another domain. It is not enough that it is uprooted and placed in two different domains. That alone is not enough to make a person sin. We need another criterion, and that is that it has to be lifted. It has to be ne'ekar, akira, uprooted from a place that's called a makom chashuv, from a place that's considered it was rested on an important place. Meaning, if let's say in public domain, there's a feather floating down in the air, and someone sticks his hand out of private domain, plucks the feather out of the air, brings it into his private domain. That feather wasn't munach, it wasn't at rest on any specific place. It has to be at rest on a place of importance. Let's say there's a fire hydrant. So a fire hydrant is not four tfachim by four tfachim. We say that in order for something to be a makom chashuv, a place of importance, it has to be four tfachim, four hand widths, that's a little bit wider than this laptop, by four tfachim. So that's approximately this big. What? For it to be a makom chashuv in Roshut HaRabim. Okay. Now, let's say we have a fire hydrant in Roshut HaRabim, right? So, on top of that fire hydrant, you do not have four tfachim by four tfachim. You do not have four hand widths by four hand widths. Four hand widths by four hand widths is approximately, let's see, a tefach is a little bit, is like 3.5 inches. So this is about 14 by 14 inches. That's four tfachim by four tfachim. So that's about this, right? is about 12 inches, 14 inches. It's about 14 by 14 inches. So a fire hydrant isn't that wide, right? So let's say we have a nice cheese Danish sitting on a fire hydrant. And your house is right near that fire hydrant. You're sitting in the middle of the meal, and you don't like dessert. So you stick your hand out the window, grab that cheese Danish, bring it inside, and you want to eat it. Now, you put it down on your plate. You hope no one's going to notice. So you just did hanacha. But did you do akira? Was in order for you to have done akira, uprooting from public domain, that thing has to have been considered at rest in public domain. And we say in order for it to be considered at rest, it must be placed on a makom chashuv, a place of importance, a place that is at least 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim wide. Yes? A fire hydrant is not. So if you took it off that fire hydrant and brought it into your house, technically you did not do a biblical transgression. Wait. Let's understand this point. We'll get to questions in a minute. We'll mention halachic relevance to this. Let's say you find yourself in Midtown Manhattan for Shabbos. So make sure you have a good kosher place to be. And you know that in Midtown Manhattan, you don't have an Eruv. You can't carry. But you're not accustomed to not carrying. So you walk out of the house and you have a piece of chewing gum in your mouth. And you're chewing or sucking on a candy. And suddenly you realize, hey, I'm in Rosh Hashanah, I'm walking down Broadway. So any street that's named after broads shouldn't be walking down. But at any rate, you're walking down Fifth Avenue, and you're sucking on a candy, and suddenly you realize, hey, we learned that in Manhattan, Rosh Hashanah, it's public domain. I'm doing a biblical transgression as I walk. I walked out of that house. I did akira. I lifted up an object. If I stop, if I stand still now, I'm doing hanocha. The object is at rest. I'm not 4x4, but my body, just like my hand, is considered makom anacha, so too my body is considered makom anacha. That was the point we were headed to. But we're going to get there in a second. So you say, what am I going to do? I got a lollipop in my mouth. So if you could get back into the house, that's one good option. Without walking, yeah, you got to walk around the place, right? If you hit a red light, so you walk around in circles so you can keep walking, right? You can't stand still.
Are you serious?
100%. But you have another option. You could do something else. You could walk over to fire hydrant and put down your candy on a fire hydrant. Because technically, that fire hydrant is not Rishus HaRabim. It is not public domain. We said something has to be at rest on something which is in a place of importance. That fire hydrant is not a place of importance. So you have a problem of Chilul Hashem. You're going to be littering. So don't do that. Try to walk back to the house you were in. Swallowing it is not an option.
Can you walk
because
back
by swallowing it, you're bringing it at rest inside yourself.
The
halacha discusses it. The Gemara discusses it. Wait. Just take my word for it. Now, when we learn Gemara, we'll study it more in depth. One second. Let's just finish this point. So now the point we have to ask ourselves is, our Mishnah discussed that the man in this house sticks his hand out and takes something out of the other man's hand. That other man's hand, my hand, no man's hand. Dogma Chavashan's hand maybe is 4x4 tefachim, but the average man's hand is 1 tefach, right? That's a tefach. Tefach is a hand's width. It's got to be 4x4. So we say, yes, that's true. But our hands are considered a place of importance even though they don't have that size. So that's a special rule. Our hands are considered a makom chashuv, a place of importance. So even though they do not have 4x4, if you take something out of someone's hand or put something in someone's hand, it's as though you brought it to rest on a place that is 4x4. And this is only relevant in Rosh Hashanah in public domain.
So just with the chewing gum, it's not akira, first of all. You leave the Rosh Hashanah.
I don't mind. The only thing I mind is that Mayor had a question first. Give me one second. Okay, yes.
So it's considered that you've done hakira by moving out.
Correct. Food in your mouth and you walk out of the house is considered hakira.
When you think that you placed in your hand.
But you're walking. It doesn't come to anacha till you stand still.
Okay, but then when you put in a fire.
Then there's anacha on the fire hydrant, which is not a makom chashuv. It's called a makom ptul. We'll learn about it.
How about you have to spit it out?
No, you can take it out with your hand. Just keep walking while you take it out.
You have to keep walking.
Keep walking. It should come to rest on the fire hydrant. Yes?
Either it has to be a makom chashuv or 4x4?
Both. A makom chashuv is a place that's 4x4.
But
your hand is also. There are exceptions.
Is it faster than your hand?
Yes. When we learn Erevin and Shabbos, then we'll discuss it. I can't do all of the Gemara in 1 second. Yeah. If you want, ask on Thursday night.
In Gittin, we learn the three prerequisites for something to be like a separate domain. Do we have any of the same three prerequisites for?
Shabbos has its own prerequisites. We will get to it.
This is just for it to be a separate domain, just in general, not for.
Shabbos has its definitions for Shusha Yochid, Shusha Rabban, Karmelis, and Makom Ptur. If you want, we'll define them right now. If that's what guys want us to do, we'll do that. It's not our Mishnah, but let's take a vote, because we only did one Mishnah today. Guys, you want to go into it now? You're outvoted.
No.
This is an exceptionally long Mishnah. The other Mishnahs are much easier.
This is a long Mishnah?
Okay. So let's move on to Mishnah Beis. Sorry, Zach. Yes. Sure. Yes.
What?
Okay. So while we wait for him to finish taking his notes, well, should we review the Mishnah or explain more concepts?
Review.
Okay. So what do we see in this Mishnah? We saw that if the taking outs of Shabbos, taking out from one domain to the other, are broken down into two that are biblically prohibited, that break down into four that are rabbinically prohibited. The other two. For the man standing inside. So what are those two that break down to four? If the man standing inside extends his hand and places something outside in the other man's hand, or takes something from his hand and brings it inside, those two actions are prohibited biblically. Those are hachnasai. He brings the object into his private domain. Now let's say the man standing inside extends his hand outside and the poor man takes an object from his hand, or else the poor man places something in his hand and he brings it inside. In either one of those two cases, they are both patur, but it is prohibited for both of them. We count it as the two for the man standing outside, inside, because he extended his hand. We always count it as the man standing inside. Really, they both did a rabbinic transgression. But when we count in our Mishnah two that are four, we always count the one who extended his hand into the other domain. I'm giving one explanation. There are two Shitos and Rashi, and there's Tosus. I'm giving one explanation that's easy to understand in the Mishnah. And then there are two that are four for the man standing outside. If the man standing outside extends his hand inside and places an object inside, or takes an object from the owner of the house and places it outside, so he did, those are two examples of a biblical transgression. If he extends his hand inside with an object and then the owner of the house takes it out of his hand and puts it down inside, or the owner of the house takes something from inside, places it in his hand, and then he takes it back outside, those are two cases where it's rabbinically prohibited for both of them to do it, but we count it as the other two for the man standing outside, because the man standing outside is the instigator, he extended his hand inside. Yes?
This may be a side question. How can you give Shabbat on Shabbat?
Well, we don't give tzedakah on Shabbat, but we do give people food on Shabbat if they need it. Someone needs food, we take in guests all the time on Shabbat.
Giving it to him is allowed?
It's a good question. How am I allowed to transfer ownership on Shabbat? How could I have guests? It's my food, they're eating. How does that work?
Maybe it's fighting, I'm not sure. Maybe Temanim. What they do is all the Aliyot, the Torah.
They bid. It's a good question, but not for now. Yeah.
How could it be that the one outside takes and brings his hand in, and the one who is inside, he doesn't change or shoot. He gives to him. How can he also be chayav midrabanan?
If he took it out of his hand, because he does hanacha. The man standing inside, the man standing outside extends his hand with an object. The man standing inside takes it out of his hand and places it down. He does hanacha.
But inside,
he's in his own home.
He's not transferred to any reshut. It's only the one from outside who transferred.
So he didn't do hanacha. He did half an action, extending the hand hanging inside.
But the one who is in reshut a yachid.
Yeah.
And just is on the receiving end.
Right, but he does the action of taking it out of his hand. Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, do you want to continue for another Mishnah? Or do you want to go over to Parsha?
Continue.
One Mishnah and then I'll have to.
Okay, so.
Two against two. You say Mishnah?
I'd go for Chumash.
No, yeah. Hello.
Three against one.
No.
Yeah.
I hate Greek.
Because it's already.